My shepherd, I don't need a thing. This is the Message translation of the 23rd Psalm that we all know, and the translation you're used to hearing is, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And this begins with, "God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing." And that has just kind of been my meditation this morning, my meditation all week, is that just such gratitude that I have all I need. It says, "You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. Even when the way goes through Death Valley, I'm not afraid when you walk at my side. Your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a six-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head my cup brims with blessing. And your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. And I'm back home. I'm back home in the house of the Lord for the rest of my life. Thank you, Father, that you are a good shepherd and we have everything we need. Thank you, God, that even when we feel like we're running out of breath, that you're there to help us catch our breath and put us right back where we need to be. You are good. You are faithful. And Father, I am so thankful. We are so thankful to you. We are so thankful for your presence. We're so thankful for your love, for your kindness that chases us down.
The smoke is fading before the light. The dead are coming back to life. He has made a way for us, born for glory out of dust. Children held within the arms of peace. He has made fall. He is our victory. The war is over. His love has come to call us daughters and sons. No longer orphans without done. The blood of
Whatever you need is within you. I want you to say, whatever I need is within me. Whatever I need is within me. Whatever we need, you have given us. You hold no perfect gift from us, God. You hold no good thing from me. Everything we need, you've given us. We have all we need. There's nowhere I can go that you're not there beside me. There's nowhere I can be where I don't feel you. There's nothing I can see where I don't see you. There's no sound I can hear that doesn't sound like you. You are everywhere in everything. Nothing catches you by surprise. Nothing catches you by surprise. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for being a good, good shepherd. A good, good father. Full of love and all that we need.
Just listening to that truth and knowing that in my core helps me to take deeper breaths. God is constantly, constantly, constantly present in a lesson that we have to learn on this walk is that it is just a shift in your awareness. To know that He is there and He has already gone before you and that He already has given you every perfect gift, and we feel like we don't have it a lot of the time. But the truth and the reality is it is there. Are you looking for it? I learned this week that I cannot have a worry, a fear, or anxiety and be living in presence. That you can't, it doesn't exist. When you are living in God's presence, a worry cannot be present in your mind. Your chest cannot feel tight from anxiety. You can't be thinking about your future and be afraid of it, or the past, or the moment. And just to know that He's already given it to you. He's already gone before you. He's gone to your past, whatever it is you're afraid you messed up. He's already fixed it. You are already fixed. And I'm just so thankful for that reminder this week, God, and that reminder today that all we have to do is decide to shift our thinking, because you are already here and we do already have what we need. So when we sing, "May God be everywhere I go," it's not a cry for help because you're not already there. God, it is a confirmation. It's a confirmation, and it's a knowing, and it's an owning that I know God is everywhere I go. So make a decision this morning to step into His presence in your life. You can't help but to come alive when you do that. All the other stuff just melts away. Thank you.
Alive in your grace and mercy, darling.
don't believe it, change your mind right now.
Light to guide me, your hand to hold me, your presence when I'm alone.
Resisting right now, whatever it is in your life holding you back, just let it go. Let it go.
We have come alive to see your beauty, hear the melody of your song. The crisp and open fields you have set.
You know, God is with us wherever we go. We just have to be aware of that. And that's what really that song is saying. We got to wake up to that fact, be conscious about his presence. It's all about being conscious about his presence. What I want to do this morning, I want to share with you just from my heart about some things that God... I've been in a posture this week just to let God speak to me. I've done very little study from that standpoint. I always hear God when I study, but I like it when I'm just in a posture where God just speaks. Don't you like that? Do you know God will talk to you? God will talk to you. And that I've never can be grateful and thankful enough just to hear God speak and to know when he speaks to you, he's directing you. I want to pray for a couple of people this morning before we get started, then pray for someone at the end of the service. But we've been on talking about grace this month, and we're going to close it out this morning about grace. And I visited Regina Creamer this past Thursday morning. And Regina has cancer. She goes on hospice care in the morning. And I walked in. I'll be honest, I was a little shocked. And I pulled a chair up and sat next to her in her wheelchair. And for about 30 to 45 minutes, I just heard her talk about good stuff. I watched her pour her heart out about God. I watched her pour her heart out about her family and how much she loves God, how much she loves her family, how she is gathering them around her and talking to them, not giving up, but just reality's reality, but just pouring her, what I'm trying to say, watching grace just pour out of her being, grace. This beautiful, gracious word filled with kindness and goodness, filled with all that is good. It's winsome. It's wholesome. It's so much to it that it can take a person who is dying and who is in the worst shape of their life and strengthen them to be able to say things that you can't say any other way. And now this... After the service, we have alms, and we're taking up a special offering for Larry Green and Ashley. Larry had a diving accident July the 4th and broke his neck in two places. He has feelings, but it's still critical whether or not they're going to be able to rehabilitate and get him to the place where he needs it. He's in shepherd's care right now going through rehabilitation. But I want to pray for them specifically right now, and then at the end as we... if you're not prepared to give, you know you can go online and give. So, Father, I just thank you, God, for your goodness to us at all times and how your mercies are new every morning and your grace is always present. I just bless Regina and her family this morning, her children, and all the people involved in that family. Richard, God, just may your grace just be poured tremendously out on them. Father, I thank you, God. We never give up. We know you're a God of miracles. You never know when one's going to pop up. Never know when that which seems impossible is going to be possible. You never know when the sea is going to open up and we're going to go across on dry land. We never know when the cloud's going to be there and the fire is going to show up. So we just bless her and that family. Lord, we bless Larry and Ashley and all that family. We thank you, God, for being there with them. Thank you for providing everything that they need. And we praise you for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I want to give you three words today. This is my life. This is my what I believe church is all about. Church is about making people whole. Church is a place where people come to be healed. When you say the word saved, you're saying the word whole. You're saying the word, you know, James said it this way. Saved and healed is interchangeable. James said, any sick among you, call the elders of the church. Let them pray over you, anointing you with oil. Listen, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord shall heal them. So saved and healing is the same thing. It's a healing. How many know our souls need healing as much as anything needs healing? And so the three words I want to talk about this morning are three of the most important words in Christendom. It's the most important words in your life, in my life. It's the most important words to get us through life. You got to have these three words. You ready? You got to have love. Say love. You got to have acceptance. And you got to have forgiveness. Love, acceptance, and forgiveness. These are the three minimal requirements of every household, of every church, of every relationship. that if you don't have love and acceptance and forgiveness, it won't make it. You got to have love. You got to have acceptance. You got to have forgiveness. Love is the unconditional love. I heard someone post this morning. I really loved the post, and it was about her dog that passed on. And she said, "Thank you for 15 years of unconditional love." I thought, wow, I wish we could say that about everybody. I wish we could say that about every human being who passes on. Thank you for 85, 95, 100 years, 10, 12. I thank you for all these years of your unconditional love. You know, it's amazing. People love their dogs sometimes more than they love people. People love their dog more than they love the kids because they get unconditional love from that dog. How many has ever had a dog and realized what unconditional love was? It's unconditional love. They love you unconditionally. I'll never forget, Gabby was my favorite dog. Bobber had some others, but none of them measured up to Gabby. And we had Gabby 13 years, and that was my dog. She was mine. I was the master. I was the owner. I was the person in her life. She loved all of y'all, but she loved nobody like she loved me. And one day, she just got me so angry and so mad, I could have beat that dog to death. I felt like at that moment. I don't think I've ever been that mad at a person or anybody, but I was so mad at this dog. And I took a magazine, folded it up, and whacked her upside the head a couple of times. And Gabby just goes down the hall to Barbara's room, goes in, and I'm sitting there just glad she's gone. Then I got the feeling convicted. And I hear, she's coming down the hall. Not quite that fast. It was more like, and I'm sitting there and I'm feeling good. Gabby's coming back. I feel better. She walked in. She peeked around the corner like that, just like that. She looked at me, and I swear I saw her do this. I don't know if she did or not, but I think I saw her go. I am pretty sure I saw her just shake her head and go, I ain't getting back in this situation. I'll come back later on. But she gave us unconditional love. Unconditional love is love without acceptance. Is acceptance that no matter what, it's no reservations. Forgiveness is that regardless of how miserably someone fails, you can forgive them. Now listen to this, because this is important. You can forgive them without leaving a bitter taste in anybody's mouth. Now, what do you mean by that? Sometimes forgiveness comes, but the person forgiving is kind of doing it out of duty, not out of really meaning it. Anybody ever been there? I'll forgive you, but I won't forget it. No, it's got to be more than that. Well, let me tell you something. Here's what grace does. You can't love, you can't accept, and you can't forgive without God's amazing grace. No way. You cannot love, you cannot accept, and you cannot forgive without God's amazing grace working in your life. Grace is not just the unmerited favor of God, the undeserved favor of God, the unearned favor of God. Paul said this, "I'm the least of the apostles. I'm not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But I labored more abundantly than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace that was within me." Paul said it another way. He says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives within me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." So you've got, for this kind of love, for this kind of acceptance, for this kind of forgiveness to function in your life, man, you've got to be so filled with a positive, upbeat, understanding of who God is and who you are, what your purpose is on this earth. Man, you just got to have it. Years ago, we changed the name of this church from New Life to Eagle's Way. We didn't do that just simply because we thought we needed a new name. We did that with purpose. And the purpose was that the scripture that we based it upon was that in Isaiah chapter 40, God was letting Israel know how precious she was to him and how that she was going to receive double grace for her sins. Double grace. She was going to get all of it. He says, and you're going to, they that wait upon the Lord, they that minister to the Lord, will mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I've said this, I think, about every time I've ever quoted this scripture. If I'd written that, I would have said, they that wait upon the Lord shall walk and not faint. They'll run and not be weary, and they'll mount up with wings as an eagle. That's how I would have written that, but I would have written it wrong. Because you can't run and not be weary, and you can't walk and not faint unless you've got an eagle's perspective. Unless you have a perspective up here, a heavenly perspective of life, a heavenly perspective of relationships, you can't run and not be weary, you can't walk and not faint. I loved it 25 years ago, whenever it was, about 25 years ago, when we named the church Eagles Way. But that wasn't the first time we ever had talked about being positive. But I want to tell you what being positive has done for me. And I'm going to tell you this. Loving and accepting and forgiving the way Jesus does is not easy. And loving and accepting and forgiving the way we're supposed to is not easy. Living a positive, upbeat, wholesome life in this world with all the negativity and all you see in this world is not easy. It's going to take a determination. It's going to take, I am going to give myself to this, not just a little bit, but wholeheartedly. I'm not going to back up from it no matter what happens, no matter what I'm confronted with. I'm not going to let this thing get me down. I'm not going to let it kill me. I'm not going to let it take my joy. I'm not going to let it happen. I'll share with you a moment the other morning I had with God, but before I do, I shared with the pastor's meeting this past Tuesday something that I had really forgotten about. And I want to tell you why I believe this message, the best is yet to come, is so important, why I believe that faith, hope, and love are the driving forces of our life, and why that loving and accepting and forgiving is just all critical. You got to have it. I went through a time in my life, not of anything I personally did, not of anything that I knowingly knew I was doing wrong, but I went through a time of depression. And it took me a little sabbatical. Some of you may remember that. It took a little sabbatical of about 6 weeks, and I never confessed I was depressed. I never talked about it that way. I used the word burnout. I used the word I'm just burned out. That's the word I used. The word I really had was depressed. And I had lived my whole life without ever being depressed. When I hear, I used to really not have a whole lot of compassion over somebody who said they were depressed because I never had felt it. I never had known what it was. But once when I went into it, and it wasn't for this message, if it wasn't for Ralph Martin ministering to me for years that nobody knows anything about, for years, if it wasn't for this impartation of looking at life with a different eyeball, looking at life with a different perspective, looking at life, living up to the name Eagles Way Church, what it really means and what it's really all about, I had to do that, and it took a couple of years to bring back what needed to be brought back in my life and to get me to where I am today. I will die preaching this message because I believe with all my heart that we are not saved from something. We're saved for something. We're safe. He saves you for a reason. Now, you can say, well, I was saved from this or that or another. I'm fine with that. But don't forget, you were saved from that, but you were saved mainly for something. For something. You ever heard of someone tell a story that they went through a real difficult time in their life and they came out of it? And most of them who have any acknowledgement of God, if they have any Christian background or religious background whatsoever, they will say this: God has something for me to do. I've never not heard someone say, after something tragic in their life happened, that they come back and say, undoubtedly, God has something for me. I've told this story. I don't like telling this story, and I'll tell you why after I tell the story. But I was going down the road, and some of you heard this story. We had a little Toyota Corona, and me and Billy Shire was going down a little small street back in off of Searcy Avenue. It's a little small street. We're going down through there, and the car was coming toward me. It had just drifted over to the other lane, and the car was headed straight for us. I hit the horn, and it blew, and she, or he, I can't remember, swerved back over to the other lane. We were this close from head-on collision. And Billy Shire said, wow, that was something. I said, you don't know what something really is. He said, what? I said, the horn don't work. He didn't believe me. I said, the horn don't work. Hadn't worked in years. And I sat there and tried to blow that horn, showing him for numerous times, and the horn never blew again. Now, was I saved from something or for something? Had to be for something. I believe, I like to know that I'm giving God a reason for me being here. I'm giving God a reason. We're saved. Every single person on the face of the earth is put here for something. And Justin, I know I gave you some scriptures. We may get to them. We may not get to them. Just don't worry about it. But I want to read a scripture I didn't give you, but don't worry about it. Y'all just listen. But God is so rich in mercy that he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life. Listen to this now. You listening? This is in Ephesians chapter 2. You can look at it later on, but please look at me and listen. God, who is so rich in this mercy, loved us so much, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. That's a strong statement. But anyway, when he raised Christ from the dead, it is only by God's grace that you have been saved, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point us to all future generations as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness to us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved when you believe. You can't take any credit for that, for the good things we have done, or none of us can boast about it, but we are his masterpiece, and he's created us for all these good works. But only way we do those good works is that his grace is in us performing those good works. And the acknowledgement of who God is. Now, I want to tell you how to love, how to accept, and how to forgive. It's got to be out of the abundance of understanding of who God is and who God is in you, and this abundance of this amazing grace, and it's this constant awareness of what Jesus did for us that will constantly cause this kind of love and cause this kind of acceptance and cause this kind of forgiveness to well up within us. Paul told the Ephesians later on, he says, I'm bowing my knees before heaven for you. I'm praying that you will come to know this love of God that passes knowledge. I want you to know, I want you to be strengthened in your inner man for this to happen in your life. You see, you can't just How many has ever heard this statement? And it's partially true. Love is a choice. How many has ever heard that? Love is a choice. How many know sometimes a choice has got to have something behind it motivating it? Right? I was talking to Ken this morning. He can ride a bike 32 miles. More than that. I can't ride a bike 2 miles. You know why? I ain't motivated to do it. I've been motivated to go exercise for a little bit of time. And it would last for a little bit of time. But you know why I quit? Not because the choice wasn't a good choice. Not because I don't even believe the choice is a good choice or a great choice. Not even because I don't believe that it helps and it strengthens my... It's not because I don't believe. It has nothing to do with that. I really do believe that exercise helps. Anybody else believe that? Do you? Do you do it? Thank you for helping me help you. So, if it's not about the choice, what's it about? You want to answer that, Joe? Had to say something, Joe. It's just too funny. You're sitting right there and going up. I was thinking about it 5 minutes. See, he knew 5 minutes ago, good illustration. He knew 5 minutes ago he was thinking about it, that his phone wasn't on. He believed that, but he didn't make a good choice. He didn't do anything about it. He just sat there knowing my phone is on. And so God said, we're going to use this as a good illustration. And your phone's going to ring. Maybe that was, see if that was a heavenly number. That would be interesting. So, it's not that I don't believe that a good choice is a good choice. What am I going to do with it? Because it's not easy. It's not easy to love and accept and forgive everybody regardless. Not. The other morning, 4:30 in the morning, I'm woke up. And me and God have this thing. And I kind of understand why he does it this way, because I got ADD, and so during the day it's hard for him to lock me in. But when he woke me up at 4:30 in the morning, he said a word to me. He said, derision. I went... I know that's a word, and I know I've seen it in the Bible, but I have no clue what it is. And God began to speak to me and said, derision comes before division. But if you will take care of derision, division never happens. And so I began to study the word derision. And the word derision is when I don't accept other people's beliefs, and I become almost insulting about what they believe, and it is a word that it's like I can say if I said I believe in something, it's like News Can again has this real belief system about eating and exercising and what he does. And if somebody said, that is derision. That is not accepting what he believes with all his heart is means everything to him. And just because I don't do it doesn't give me a right to look at it like, man, you're crazy. That's derision. That's insulting. It's insulting what another person believes with all their heart. It's something you need to believe with all your heart. You need to believe in God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Outside of that, there's a whole lot of stuff that's going to come from that. There are numerous denominations across this earth. There are numerous denominations across this city that do not believe alike. only from the standpoint of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They believe that. They believe in Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the whole world. They believe that. But there are some who believe that you can get saved and you can lose your salvation. Is that me or is that something up there? There are some who believe that if you're not careful, you'll lose your... I'll try to stand one place. I don't know what to do. Let's just do that. There's some who believe that I can live, you know, that I have eternal security. I believe that. I believe I'm eternally saved. Nothing I could ever do would separate me from God. I believe that. Everybody don't believe that. Everybody don't believe that. Everybody don't believe that. But if I am not, will not dare say to a person who believes opposite of that, I can't believe you believe that. That's derision. That's insulting to a person's hardcore belief in what they believe. That ain't right. You don't insult another person's belief system. That's not what we're called to love, accept, and forgive. We have to accept. And you see, people know when they're accepted and when they're not accepted. You know why gays don't go to church, don't you? Most of them. You know why. You know why. Because they won't feel accepted. They won't feel accepted if they go. And everybody's got to feel accepted. The church has got to be opened on. The church has got to be loving, got to be accepting, and got to be forgiving. And that's not just a choice I make. It's an action that I do. See, acceptance is love in action. It's not everybody. If I ask everybody in Griffin who are believers, do you believe in love and acceptance and forgiveness? They'll tell you, yes, they believe in those three words, but they don't practice those three words. They don't practice those three words. James said this about the devil. The devil believes and trembles. He said, belief is not it's not what it's all about. It's what are you going to do with the faith? What are you going to do with the belief you have? Because that's what it's really about. It's what I put behind what I believe. And it's why I love John. John, little John, said, the way that we know we have passed from death to life is the love for the brethren. Not my love for you because you agree with everything I agree am about. He didn't say that. He didn't say you love them because they're just like you. They think the way you think. They act the way you act. They believe the way you believe. He didn't say love them for that. He said love that you know you pass from death to life because you love. You love. I preached the kingdom message years ago with arrogance in ways that it shouldn't have been preached. Now, what always that way, but there was a lot of derision I preached the kingdom message with. I didn't even know it. But I'm glad I've come to a place in my life where there's a whole big church out here. There's a whole big world out here. And there's a lot of people out here who need love and need acceptance and need forgiveness. It's huge. And there's no other place, I believe with all my heart, there's more derision than in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no place where there should not be derision is in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should be able to walk into any house of faith and sit with an open heart and an open mind and receive goodness from the God of this one church. Because he doesn't look down and go, oh, I mean, we know that. I know this is simple theology. I know that. But it's so simple, we forget it. They're all his children. They're all his kids. They all belong to him. They don't all believe alike. They don't all believe alike. My gosh, when I'm preaching, you lose track of names. The guy in Texas, the big faith teacher, Joel Osteen. Half the church don't believe what Joel Osteen believes. They don't. I hear people. They don't believe that. Well, it ain't affecting him too much. Not affecting that ministry. He's got more in his bathroom than people got in the church. Why? But he believes with his core of his being. He believes it with every fiber of his being. I want to believe what I believe with every fiber of my being. I don't want it to be, oh, I believe in exercise. If I exercise, I'd probably lose this belly. If I exercise, if I eat better, I'd probably do this, probably do that. If I discipline myself over here, I believe in all that. I believe in it. But it ain't going to do one bit of good until I do something about it. Not a bit. They're not just words and doctrines to believe. They're words and doctrines to change our life. To cause us to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill, giving light to everyone. It doesn't discriminate. It's not prejudice about anything. Do you know there are people in the church world who are prejudiced about another church's beliefs, and they prejudge them about what they believe? That's wrong. That's just wrong. If you got more than one kid, none of them alike. They're not alike. Believe me, they're not alike. They all are different. They got your blood in them. They got your genes in them. They're not alike. They're so different. It's unbelievable how different. They believe so differently than each other. They believe, and I know this is going to be a surprise to you. They secret, okay, secret. They don't even believe like you believe. Because they got their own belief system. They got their own heart and mind and soul and spirit. And they hear God. We have another secret. We have a generation who believes in God. They just don't believe about God the way they've been taught about God. It doesn't mean they don't believe the way you believe. I'm saying this low so that you will be okay. I've got three grandkids that still shock me every now and then. One in particular. Won't name her. But you never know. But we serve a big God. And you have, you go to the piano and get it. We have, I love this phrase, we have a soul print, just like you got a fingerprint. And no fingerprint is alike, and neither is no soul print alike. None. They're all different. You've got a soul print. You got a grace gift in your life, and nobody can fulfill it but you. Nobody can take its place but you. I've been told and heard this statement before. You know, you are replaceable. No, you're not. Whomever said that to you is not right. None of us are replaceable. None of us. Because there's nobody like you. Nobody's got that soul print that you have. What a God. Think about that. What a God that can not only make every snowflake different,
every fingerprint different, but every person different. Think about it. Just think for a moment. Jenny, you ever met anybody like Will? No. Sharon, you ever met anybody like Ricky? No, me either. Never. I have never met anybody like Chris. I mean, nobody. So different. Unity is diversity working together. That's what unity is. Yeah, write that down, Dust. That's pretty good. That's hot off press there. Say so myself. I thought that was pretty good. That's good preaching. Y'all don't say amen to that. That's pretty good stuff right there. Sometimes you just say something off the cuff, you don't know how good it is that you didn't say it. It's diversity working together. It's accepting our differences and embracing them and not shunning them. But we embrace them. Stand together and give you have you ever tried to figure somebody out? Come on. Have you? You ever tried to figure somebody out? Don't. You can't. You'll spend your whole life. I've been married 40-something years. I have never figured her out. I can't figure her out. There's no way I can figure her out. Why? I don't have her spirit. I don't have her soul. I don't figure myself out. I'm having a hard time figuring myself out. But if we'll stop trying to figure everybody out and start accepting everybody and receiving what we can. Let me give you one more thing. Everything that I have preached, if you've been here for 20 years, raise your hand. All right? Has there ever been anything I said you didn't agree with? Is there anybody who has absolutely 100% agreed with everything I said besides Susan? No. But you're here. Why? Because you've accepted me. And you love me. The Bible says in Thessalonians, don't despise preaching. Don't despise prophesying. Then he said this, hold fast to that which is good and leave the rest alone. That's all you got to do. I may have heard the statement, throw the baby out with the bathwater. You wouldn't dare do that. But man, we can throw things out of our life that comes our way. Just throw the bathwater out, dude. Don't throw everything else out. There's not a person on the face of the earth who can't teach you something. The Bible says that the church is so multifaceted that it's so different, and yet it's bringing such wisdom to the ages and the ages and the ages that come and go, that it's, I forgot to tell you this, the wisdom of Ephesians 3, when he said the church is to display the wisdom of God, he defined the wisdom of God. You ready? That you be strengthened in your inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts, and you might know the love of God that passes all knowledge. It passes what you know about the person. It passes that. That we no longer look at people after the flesh, but after the spirit. That's what we do. That's what we do. That we reconcile all things to God in the spirit, not in the flesh. Not in the flesh, in the spirit. Wendy, I want you to come down. We want to pray for you this morning. Ask the eldership to come around. And anybody else, you know, you want to pray, just, I know a lot of you know Wendy, and I think most of you probably know what she's going through right now. But God's been good. God stopped a surgery that could have been very difficult. Father, as we gather around Wendy, we anoint her with oil symbolic of your Holy Spirit. As a body of believers, as children of God, we call upon you, the giver of life. You gave this body to her. It's woven together in her mother's womb. You know every intricate detail of her. You knew this heart issue way, way before anybody else knew it. And so, God, we're just committing everything to you right now. That divine healing comes from you. Thank you for doctors, nurse. Thank you for all the medicines. Thank you for all of that. But all healing eventually comes from you. It has to work through the spirit, the soul, and the body. And so, God, we are just all in agreement for divine healing and complete healing. Thank you, God, for the things you put her on this earth to do. And she'll continue to do them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to say a couple of things before Will comes and we do this offering. Don't read into anything I said this morning other than what I said. This message wasn't meant to be anything other than a message. Wasn't to be read into, wasn't to have been taken any other way than what I said. Got me? That's how it was said. Don't read into it. It's not to be read into. I didn't preach this message to be read into. I didn't preach this message with any motivation, any ulterior motive. I preached this message. I wanted to preach this message for a long, long time. A long, long time. You know my heart. You know pretty much what I believe. You don't know everything. But what I've said today, I believe with every fiber of my being. And I'm back up every single thing with scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. It's what this book's all about. Love, acceptance, and forgiveness. It's always been that way. Always will be that way. That will never change. It will only grow more and more into understanding that. Right? God bless.
You may be seated for just a moment. This Wednesday night, everybody say, this Wednesday night, you are invited to join the youth in worship, and then after that, an ice cream social. Normally, we have first Wednesday nights where everybody is there. First Wednesday night coming up falls on the 4th. We didn't think very many people were going to come here on the 4th. So next, this Wednesday, at 6:30, we'll meet up in the youth building. And it'll be a small time of worship. And then we're going to have homemade ice cream. Everybody say homemade ice cream. Guess what we need? Someone to bring. If you are willing, we just need to know you're willing to bring homemade ice cream. Otherwise, Joey says that he is headed to the grocery store. I get grocery store ice cream anytime. I want homemade ice cream. So if you either let Joey know or myself know, either text or email that you are going to do a churn of ice cream and bring it at 6:30 on Wednesday. Where are we meeting? Up in the youth building. It'll be a great time. Youth are preparing for summer camp. It's right around the corner. We'll be leaving on the 8th. You excited about summer camp? Yeah. It's awesome. It'll be good. Many of you have given already to help sponsor. Some of you have were part of the spaghetti lunch. If you still would like to give to the Arnie Fund, you are welcome to do that. That helps a student that is trying to go to camp, trying to work out, going to camp financially, an opportunity to possibly go to camp. So that is an option. This morning, some of you have followed either via Facebook or Instagram. The last Sunday of each month, we emphasize alms. We call this the alms box. It sits in the foyer most of the time. A lot of you put your tithes or your offerings into it, and that is not a problem. But on the last Sunday of each month, we emphasize that because that is a way that we touch people's lives into this community. And this particular Sunday, we are taking up alms for the Green family, Larry and Ashley. He is hoping to be transferred to Shepherd's Center soon. As he continues to heal, that's what is the next process and steps of that are going to be. The kids have been staying with a relative in North Georgia, and she has been staying at the place that is provided across from Atlanta Medical Center. But financially, they need some assistance, some help. So if you want to give to that today, you can. If you give online, many of you do that. Some of you do your tithes that way, and that's fine. If you're wanting to give just to alms, you can give just to alms that way. If you want to give to multiple things, some of you don't know this, just check that you want to give to multiple items, and then in the memo box, just list what those are, and we'll make sure that those get to the right areas, the right places. So if you have your connection card, take it and hold it up for a second. I only see a couple of connection cards. We did put them in the bulletins, okay? So they're in the bulletin each and every week. And that connection card is a representation. When you take that connection card as a member of Eagles Way Church and you place it in the box at the back of the sanctuary when service is over, and if you give online, you give online, that's still a representation. But if you have your offering with you and you have it in an envelope or a check and you drop it in that box, the promises of God that are in His Word are bestowed upon you. And the blessings that are there and the riches to receive, the goodness that He is there. So Father, Lord, we thank You for this day that we come to this house. We bring our tithes, we bring our offerings, we bring our alms. But we ask You, Father, Lord, to bless the Green family in a special way. As their members here, Father, Lord, our prayers are with them. And today, Father God, our finances will be with them. We thank You for complete healing. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. This morning we're not going to sing, but you can stand if you would. And as Kitty plays, you can come and give your alms and then return to your seat. And then when she's done, we will be dismissed.